Are you members of the Barefoot community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
Welcome to Barefooters Legal Radio. Where you will learn the benefits and your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. And now, here to empower you and dispel the myth of going barefoot is the one that has lived a full-time barefoot lifestyle for over 20 years and victims legal advocate, your host, Nick Pierce.
Well, hello, and welcome to another edition of the Barefoot is Legal broadcast. I'm your host, Nick Pierce. For those of you that may not know, I've been barefoot full-time for over 20-plus years. I got rid of the last pair of anything that goes on my feet over 15 years ago. I'm the head of MP Media, did a radio show called The Business of Arts, Music, and Entertainment for a few years. Also the new host of Freedomizer's newest prepping and survival radio program, Are You Ready? On right before the Barefoot is Legal radio show. And also, victims legal advocate, standing up for the human rights that we as the barefoot community have, and the head of BIL's Legal Services Department. Many of you have different reasons for going barefoot. For some of you, it may be for religious reasons, some of you for cultural reasons, others for health or medical reasons. Even though our reasons are different, there are people out there that think that there are laws, policies, rules, regulations, or dangers about being barefoot in public. Whatever your reasons, call in, share your stories, whatever issues you may have. If you want to be a part of the show today, the call-in number is 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to be on the air. We also have our live chat room open. You can get there by going to freedomizerradio.com. You can interact with us during the broadcast, share your stories there as well. And also check out the website, barefootislegal.org. We also have our Facebook page and our Facebook group, also the home of Barefoot is Legal Radio on Facebook. Just go to Facebook, Barefoot is Legal Radio,
There's a content updates on the show and all that there, exclusively for the show. You can send messages, questions, issues, and all that right there. They'll come directly to me. But don't forget about Barefoot is Legal's official page and their closed group. That's on Facebook. Just go to Barefoot is Legal. You can interact with other members of the Barefoot community during and after the broadcast. If you live a Barefoot lifestyle or are interested in living a Barefoot lifestyle, join our closed group if you have not yet joined already. Now, keep in mind, though, this is not a fetish community. So for all you heavy-breathing fun seekers out there, this is not the place to get your rocks off on foot pictures. No, no, no. We are here to educate and empower you and spread the message that bare feet are legal. And with that said, now it's time to kick off your shoes if you are wearing them or still have any at all, and enjoy the next hour and a half of time that we have together. 319-527-6208. And we have Proof, who's going to be sitting in with me today. And I don't know, Proof, are you ready? I don't know if you're ready to come on, or we'll see.
Yeah. Are you ready? That's your show.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you. I don't know if you heard what I just said. That's all.
Oh, no. Sorry. There we go. Let me get my volume up here. There you go.
Oh, I said that. Are you ready? That's your show, not mine.
Yeah. Well, it's Freedomizer's newest show.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Episode 5 was today, I think. Maybe 6. You know, after a while, they all start running together.
So I have like 40, 45 minutes today. We have a handyman over. We're redoing our backyard, and I need to take him at some point to go get more supplies.
Okay. Yeah, and that's why I wanted to get you on earlier, because I know you had something else going on.
Yeah, and believe it or not, we get to go to Costco today. And you have just the one cat. You have Magic.
Mm-hmm.
We have 6. And it's funny. We go through about 200 pounds of cat litter a month.
Wow, that's a lot.
So I have to get the dolly and get a whole case of cat litter. So it's just crazy. I've never seen anything like this. But my cats are spoiled, I guess. So Magic doesn't know what it's like to have a cat family.
No, for a while there, he actually did have some friends that he lived with one of my exes.
Okay.
And, yeah, it was interesting. So
any questions that you received over the past week? Because I had one that came in last night, and I answered it. So I was going to share that on the air here with you.
Yeah, no, please share. That'd be great. I mean, yeah, I have tons of questions that people send in, but I'd like to hear yours and see if it's the same ones or anything relevant, you know, to some of the questions that I have. Kill two birds with one stone. So, yeah, hey, feel free to share.
Okay. Great. Now we're going to have all the PETA people leaving the group because we said that we're killing birds.
Oh, we're killing birds now.
Well, you said killing two birds with one stone.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yep. Getting rid of PETA on our airwaves.
Yes. All right. So I had somebody that was at Wendy's. So I'll just read what I cut in their question, and then I'll give the response.
Okay.
Question. I was asked to leave a Wendy's. The manager said I need to at least have socks on or flip-flops, and they said they know it's not a health code, but they are worried I might step on glass. What should I do? So if you want to give your answer, and then I'll give what I made.
You know, socks, you know, it's crazy how they come up with these ideas that, like, okay. They acknowledge it's not health code. At least they went that far. You know, but health code, it could be more believable than glass not being, than socks protecting your foot from glass. I mean, I have no idea how a piece of fabric is glass-proof. And if it does get stuck in your sock and you start walking around with that and eventually it does weave its way through the sock, it's going to do more damage. You had no idea that now you're carrying around a dirty piece of glass about to enter your foot from the sock. I don't see how socks would help. I mean, what I would do is I'd probably say, you know what, let's test this whole sock theory that you have. Ask the manager to take their shoe off and have them walk around on broken glass to see if it does anything.
I guess that's where you would start with that, just to prove the stupidity on that one. But I'd like to hear your answer, though.
All right. So, yeah, I created a few paragraphs in answering because I don't like to just – when people submit questions and I put this on our spy book, I want to address it up a little bit. I don't want to just write a three-word answer and then nobody learns from it.
Oh, of course.
So, So my answer is we would find their argument extremely pointless. I would look through their menu with a fine-tooth comb and ask, what glass products does Wendy's serve? People go through great lengths to try to justify their shoe reasons. While some make up health department claims, insurance reasons, and other false statements, the fact is, it is more likely to get food poisoning in a restaurant than anything else in a fast food business. When ordering a cheeseburger, exactly zero people ask you if you are allergic to dairy, or wheat for that matter. When ordering a soda, no employee has ever asked if you are diabetic. Allergic to onions? No one is going to ask you if you have allergies. If there are other places to eat close by, I would grab the corporate phone number at Wendy's and make a complaint. After visiting another place and having a meal, make a complaint, save a receipt. Businesses are not used to people fighting for their rights and having all the evidence at their fingertips. Remember, we are the ones that have the exact knowledge of our rights. The average person in the USA has been conditioned to think we're committing a crime. We have to be the educators and try to keep a cool head while sharing. Done.
And that's very well put. You hit it right there. You know, that's a good
Nick,
response.
Have you ever had a person when getting food, have they ever asked you if you have any allergies or if you're diabetic when you're ordering a soda?
No. Not at all. In fact, if anything, I have to beg them not to put mayonnaise on anything. And even if I've eaten there a bunch of times, they'll still say, oh, would you like the lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise and all that? I'm like, no mayonnaise, nothing with mayonnaise, no mayonnaise near my plate. Anything with raw egg, I can't do. It makes me so sick. And mayo just seems to be one of those. The egg white, you know, processed, whatever it is. It just, I can't do it. I get sick at the smell of it. That's how bad it is. And it's crazy because once I went to an Arby's. I don't do fast food much, but I go to an Arby's. I order their sandwich, and I guess they had the special super saucy sassy sauce or whatever it is they put on this stuff. So I get my sandwich, and I sit down, and I'm about to eat it. And I go to put it near my mouth, and I'm like, I can't eat this. Something's wrong. Nope. My body just knew. So I went up to the counter, and I said, what's on the roast beef something, whatever it is, this thing? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, they said, oh, it's roast beef cheese and our whatever it is, super sassy, saucy, secret sloppy sauce or whatever. And I said, what's in that? Is there any egg or anything or, you know, mayo or anything in that? They said, oh, we don't know. They go back, you know, a couple minutes later. They had a whole discussion. They must have looked up the recipe or something. They said, oh, yeah, it's made with blah, blah, blah. I said, I'm sorry, I can't eat this. Can you remake it without this super secret sassy, saucy, chewy stuff, whatever? You know, and I hate doing that because it's a waste of food.
You're right.
But I just can't get it near my mouth. I would get so sick. And I couldn't smell it. I had no idea it was in there, but your body just knows. Now, you go out sometimes, and they're just like, oh, well, you know, okay, how do you like your burger, blah, blah, okay. Would you like the pickles, mayo, lettuce, this and the other? I said, you know what, none of that, and especially no mayo. And sometimes if you order chicken, it's like, okay, someone, you know, you order like, we'll say a burger or something. And you're just like, oh, we're going to start with a starter, like an appetizer. We'll do like the chicken tenders, the chicken fingers or something like that. And, you know, loaded potato skins or something. Okay. Would you like ranch? Thousand? I'm like, no. All that has mayo in it. Stop asking me if I want anything with mayo, raw egg or anything like that in the sauce. You know, you're right. They don't ask you, do you have allergies? If anything, they're hot to serve you something that'll probably kill you. And they just don't get it. But yet they do. They make up these things like, Oh, well, your socks will protect you against broken glass.
Okay. Well, it's the same thing as at the office where those nylons will protect you against a falling filing cabinet.
Oh, exactly. Indestructible nylons. You know, that'll just stop a filing cabinet midair like Superman, you know, stopping the moon from rolling somewhere, another planet coming towards Earth. I mean, what kind of nonsense logic is that? I mean, it makes you wonder. It's like, okay, if I go watch a YouTube video and I decide to break a bunch of broken glass and do a glass walk, and I put socks on and just go for it, at that rate, I could probably sue Wendy's for telling me that, oh, you have to put socks on because there may be glass on the floor, and this way you're protected. And then all of a sudden I walk on glass with socks on, and I get hurt. You could probably sue Wendy's.
But we have to remember, though, that instead of cowering in fear, because that's what we did pre-BIL, that we are empowered now, and we don't have to take this anymore.
Nope, absolutely not. We have armed the members, and you have started arming the members that join the BIL community with the knowledge. We've dug up the laws. We've done the research. We give them the materials. We give them all the ammunition that they need, and it's just up to them to use it. See, we're informed, as opposed to the other idiots out there that walk around saying, oh, no, if the building burns down, you have to have flip-flops on to save you. You know, if there's a fire, you at least have, you know, or if there's glass on the floor, you need to have socks on. They make outrageous warranties. It's like, you know, in the previous episode, are you ready? The broadcast I just did, I was talking about fire safety plans, stuff like that, the emergency plan, you know, stuff like that for the prepping stuff. And one of the people said, like, oh, well, I have a gas mask and I could use that to get out of a fire. Well, yeah, you have a gas mask, that works. But it's also made of rubber, and it's probably going to melt to your head because it's not rated for high temperatures and fire. It's rated for chemical, to breathe, not be in a fire. Now, there's other equipment made for that. It sounds like, you know, and I think this came up on a previous episode of BIL where someone, you know, it was like a fire drill or like at a school or something. Well, if there's a fire, you know, you need to make sure you have your shoes. So were they saying that if there's a fire, you're not going to get injured? Like, you could use the shoe to breathe, or you could use the shoe to, like, put the fire out or something? Like, some of the logic has never made sense with some of the arguments or objections. Not even arguments, just the initial objection that some of these people come up with.
Right, and instead of just sitting there and taking it and apologizing and thinking that you're the most wrong person in the world, you can actually sit there and make them think about their statement. Because realistically, I'm not even talking about supermarkets at this point, because that's a whole different way to handle business. But you're going into a Subway, a Wendy's, a Popeye's Chicken, and if they mention the glass and you ask them what glass products do they sell, and their answer is none, then where is their argument?
Oh, yeah. It's just like the thing with the bank, how you're going to step on glass that you talk about. It's the what glass do they have in a bank? I mean, maybe some bulletproof glass, but we know that's not going to just fall on the floor and break. No one's going to drop that. No one's walking around with maybe bulletproof glass, and it's just the bulletproof window slipped out of my hands, and it's all over the floor now. Clean up at Teller 2. Now, if a gold bar fell on my foot, I'd just pick it up, drag myself out of there, throw it in the car, and say, today was a good day.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, so you got to watch for those falling $20 bills.
Oh, those are brutal. You know, the $100 bill is probably a lot worse. I mean, that, you know what, because it looks very intimidating, it's an assault denomination.
Okay.
Yeah, a $100 bill, it looks, you know, like an assault denomination of currency.
Well, they actually call it assault currency.
Yeah, see? Assault currency. So, you know. And those automatic telling machines. Rapid fire $20 bills? Whoa. Pull up to one of those.
Yeah, that I would like to have a bank say that your money might fall on your foot. I want to hear that argument once in my life.
Oh, I'd love for that to happen. Now, tellers carefully count out the currency. You know, that's like semi-automatic. You go to an ATM machine, it's even in the title, automatic.
Yes.
Rapid fire $20 bills coming at you in a car like you're in a drive-by? Whoa. Got to ban them. Well, at least they limit the amount of currency you can get in a single transaction now, you know?
So I don't know if you've ever witnessed this argument, but I have before with, and everybody's heard my Baskin-Robbins story. So how, without the fun and games department, so to speak, how do we, after they tell us about the glass at Burger King, how do we get through that and make them realize that what they just said was the stupidest thing ever?
You know, on a serious note, sometimes I found that the dumb look that you give someone when they say something is typically enough, because then they stop and they think, did I really just say that? There's a certain look, if you execute it right, that you just look at them with that eye roll or something, and it makes them kind of hesitate and hold their own thought. But
because
if you
in essence, that's how I try to win arguments, is I let them try to drag themselves into a conversation that makes no sense whatsoever, and then you can make them rethink what they just said, and then they sound like fools.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And sometimes just that blank look. Yeah. Who was the comedian? Jack Benny. He had that look that he would give in his, you know, it was part of his shtick. He had that, like, look that he would just look with his fingers, just like, that's so ridiculous, or this is funny. It's almost like one of those looks. If you want, go back and watch some of the, for the listeners, go back and watch some old Jack Benny stuff. It does this certain look, just perplexed or puzzled or, you know, whatever it is. I can't quite put my finger on it, the best way to describe it. But sometimes you give someone a look like that, and they're just like, well, did you understand what I'm saying? And you just kind of look like, and if you even don't say anything, it almost stops them, and they rethink what they said, because just the look on your face, they now know that they sounded extremely ridiculous. And then you can kind of present some logic back at that. You know, at times it's just like, you know, I think I understand. Never mind. You know, I get it. That did sound a little silly. You know, in the 0.02% times that happens. But the people that approach you, they feel that they have this ultimate authority. Here we go. They put a special nameplate on them. They give them a key to a special department that no one else in the store can unlock, the keys to the cellar. And then they sit there, and it's just like they have these policies that they create in their head and this, that, and the other, and they approach you. And those are the ones that do want to kind of challenge you as a customer. And you got to challenge them as a manager. And we do. We have to stand up for what we believe in. And, you know, just a little bottle.
Let me throw this at you, because I've tried that before with somebody, before pre-BIL, and they mentioned the fact that somebody could bring glass into the building and then drop it.
Into a bank?
Yeah. Bank, subway. Actually, this was a... what was it? Not Boston Market, but something like an old Boston Market that we don't have here anymore.
See, I didn't know that. Because if I was going to Wendy's and I decided, well, they don't serve martinis, I'm just going to sit here and drink a martini. And I sit there with my little mini bar mixing it up, you know, sit there at the table eating a Baconator or something like that. There's a contrast, a martini with a Baconator. Picture that one. And I had no idea that you could bring your own containers or glass in there. So now I know if I want a martini, hey, someone could bring it in. Okay, well, yeah, I could also have a whole Precious Moments collection in there too, but it's not happening. I mean, I don't sit there setting up little figurines and tchotchkes all over the counter before I decide what I want and talk to them like a nut. Yeah, technically it could happen, but my Precious Moments collection, I don't even have one. But, oh, if I did have one and I brought it to a Wendy's and one of my Precious Little Moment figurines fell on the floor, I mean, what kind of stupidity is that?
Well, that would be just like you have to wear a fire retardant suit when walking in because somebody could sit at their table while eating their said Baconator and decide to light their candle.
Yeah. I mean, you have to have a whole burn suit on. I mean, just in case you stick a candle in the Baconator, the candle ignites the grease on this junk, then yeah, I could see that. But what if there's a grease fire in the kitchen? I don't know. The logic that they come up with is amazing. This is going to be a short break, though.
At the same time, though, and if you can hold out on the commercial like five to 8 minutes, and then I'll finish up here because
all right.
I know I'm going to have to. I don't want him to knock on the door and say, "Are you ready to go?" I want to go ask him if he's ready.
Okay.
So, being and you've owned a restaurant before. I believe you may still own it. I don't remember.
No, not anymore. But it was in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
And I've owned a small chain of comedy clubs before, so I'm definitely not adverse to glass being around and such, but we all run a risk of when we're open for business, and if we don't want the risk, then we don't open. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, part of running a business is just risk itself, whether it's going to succeed or fail.
It's
That's
like
the biggest risk.
If you're afraid to cook a meal because someone might not like it, then you shouldn't be in the kitchen.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, you're not the chef or the cook for the job.
Yeah, I just feel as though being a business owner, you have to be completely confident in your business and your business model. Otherwise,
of
don't
course.
Open.
Yeah.
I'm not scared. Here is the president of the BIL. I'm not scared of running our corporation. If I was and was too timid to make any moves, then I'm not the right person for the job, and then somebody else can step in and do it, I guess. But I feel I'm completely competent.
Well, you have to be, and you are. You're very confident, completely capable. I mean, what you started and what BIL is doing is not like the other coffee clubs that have come along. Yes, we share information. We discuss a lot of things. We discuss a lot of topics. We discuss everything that pertains to the lifestyle, for the most part. But it's not just a place to tell a story. It's we're here to take action. We're advocates to promote the rights that we that live the barefoot lifestyle or part of the BIL or barefoot community, for that matter, whether you're a member of Barefoot is Legal or not, that we have rights and they need to be protected. We're not getting into the back of the bus anymore.
Right. And most importantly, I'm not the only one here that likes to put my money where my mouth is, because if you want a cause to change, and this is something I just wanted to touch on real quick. I've had people ask, if you're a nonprofit, why do you need donations? And unfortunately, even if you're a 501c3 nonprofit like we are, I can't just go to any expo in the world and say, hey, I need a free booth. there's no, yeah, there's no website hosting company that will hook me up with a free website. Yeah, stamps, I don't care how big of a nonprofit you are, you still got to pay for postage.
Yep.
The airplanes don't give you free courtesy rides if you're doing a show somewhere or doing a convention or TV interviews or things like that.
Yeah.
I don't look at us as small time. We might be considered mid-level at this point, but I'm thinking in the grand scheme of things, where do we want to be? Do we want to be small time, or do we actually want to promote our cause and have people change minds? I'm not interested in hiding anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, and we can't. And here's the thing with being a nonprofit. People may think that, like, oh, this money just goes towards, you know, us. Okay? It goes to the admins. It goes to the staff. It goes to you as the founder, director, CEO, all this. It goes to me for doing a radio show. No, BIO funds do not go to that. As a nonprofit, it goes towards our expenses, and everything is accounted for. And furthermore, we just can't say, like, oh, well, we have a profit this year. We made $1,000, we're going to split it up. We made $100,000, we're going to split it up among our members. It doesn't work that way. We're nonprofit.
No.
It has to be used for the purpose that you're established for. And there's strict rules with that. So people think that this is like a moneymaker or, you know, stuff like that, and who needs this? It's like, no, we need to spend every dime that we get for the most part. And it has to be accounted for. Annual report needs to get filed. Every member, anybody can ask for it at any time. And we have to provide it. Here's
right.
What your donations went for. Here's what your contributions did this year. It's not going into your gas tank to go out for dinner. It's not paying me by the minute to sit behind a microphone.
Or me, for that matter.
Exactly. See, people don't realize that. Some people think that, you know, oh, well, you know. Oh, well, now they're corporate and you know, blah, blah, blah. No, it takes money to get a movement going. It's no different than the ASPCA, PETA, if they're still listening, after we were talking about killing two birds with one stone. So hopefully you're out there. We're on your side with this. We're nonprofit too. Okay? It's you know, I mean, if anybody should be under fire, it's Goodwill. I mean, think about some of this. You know, which we've all heard their stories. That's not
or the Red Cross.
The Red Cross, you know, which, I mean, these, okay, Red Cross does, you know, they do a very commendable job with what they do. They really do. They reach out. They try to help as many people as possible. Okay. It's limited. They have certain bylaws, guidelines or something for certain things because they can't just dissolve. They can't just go away. So, I mean, sometimes the support that they can really give is limited. But at least they're there. And, you know, sometimes you may not really realize what the Red Cross does until you really need them. So, you know, there's so many organizations like that. Just like our members probably don't realize really what we do until they need us. When they get into an issue in a store, when they come up, when they have a confrontation, when they end up, you know, faced with, these objections. And they've been shopping someplace for years, and then all of a sudden some new manager starts, and then they have a problem with something. It's like, we can stand up. We have the corporate communications department. We have the website with information. It's one place, one stop to take care of what this issue is. No different than Save the Children, Red Cross, PETA, ASPCA, and you name it. I mean, you could ramble off nonprofit organizations that either they're sending rice to Africa to fatten them up to feed to the lions, or they're protecting animals. BIL is the same way. And we can only do
right,
so much with the funding we have.
And just because somebody might live in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we're doing a convention in Portland, Oregon, does not necessarily mean that it's not helping them. When we have new members and new sponsors and new people joining the organization, that's a positive for everybody. because we're going to find more people that can represent in your area. And I can't look through the phone book and say, hey, we need new people in Enterprise, Alabama. I can't do that. But what I can do is legitimize what our group stands for and grab as many new people, and not just new people, but new people willing to actually take a stand.
Yeah, yeah. And if we decide at one point we're going to start putting PSAs, public service announcements, on a TV and all that, or expand out to other networks and radio advertising or something, it's, I wouldn't necessarily call it advertising, because we're just like someone that's interested or concerned about something. They see an ad and they say, ah, this is an organization I believe in, or I'm like that, I didn't even know about this. And they join. It's the attraction into an organization like ours. They join because they either live the lifestyle, they believe in the cause, they believe in the lifestyle, or something like that. And they're attracted to what we do.
So what I was thinking for our first PSA, if we ever make it that far, would be just something about driving in flip-flops on versus driving without shoes.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different ad campaigns that we can approach it with. And, you know, I'd love to hear what the member feedback is on that. Or if anybody else wants to add anything to that, 319-527-6208. If you want to call in, be a part of it. If you're listening online. If anybody has anything they want to chime in. I mean, we're open for ideas. It's not a dictatorship.
No.
It's not this is how we function and this is what we do. It's we like the feedback from our members. We want them to know that, hey, yeah, what their thoughts are. Someone may come into the organization that may have a whole different perspective on what a good ad campaign would be versus what ours is, or versus what yours is, or even versus what mine is, or even versus what some of the other admins' ideas would be. But if it's something that comes from one of the members and they say, hey, you know what, this would work, and we can sit there and look at it and say, you know what, we never thought of that. We need the feedback. We want the input. And that's how we grow. So, yeah, I mean, post it to the group. Send us a message on Facebook or through the website. If you're not a member, join the closed group and share your thoughts. Share your feedback. You can even call into this show and share with us right now. If you have something
The one good thing about the BIL, too, like we said before, it's a whole team, and we've gotten this far because of teamwork. And this isn't something that, like how other groups are just groups and somebody can come in and hijack. Well, this is all through a corporation now, and there's business licenses and whatnot involved, and it takes a board. Nobody can just decide that they're the leader. It has to go through a board. You would actually have to challenge the board and have a vote with members.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the way it works. We're structured. We're organized. We're not an anarchist group. We're not protesters.
No, not at all.
We're not, we're not out there waving flags and burning things, trashing, looting, you know, with the aggressive protest style. And,
that's how we're structured. We're structured to be extremely professional, and we're structured for success.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to grow. So it's not if we ever get a public service announcement on TV or on a radio or something. It's when we do.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that we're spending our money right. And I'd love to hear what the members have to add on that. I mean, I have some ideas. I think we spoke about it off air and some concepts and stuff. But, you know, maybe my idea isn't the right one. We want to make sure that every little bit we spend wisely.
I'm not saying everything that I think of is gold, and it's not just my way or the highway here, but we do have a team, and that's for a reason.
Yeah.
So many ideas get bounced around, and not all my ideas work, and not all my ideas actually make it off the platform. But that's the good thing about having a team, because only the best ideas get out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even when I started this radio show over a year ago, I don't think that everything I did worked in the very beginning. But, you know, the feedback from members, the feedback and, you know, issues, topics and stuff like that, you know, kind of ironed out some of the wrinkles and, hey, it's still going. And, you know, don't forget, before I did BIL, I didn't do radio for a couple of years.
Right.
So it was kind of like, oh, yeah, I know how to do this. I could do this. Holiday weekend, Thanksgiving, and I'm doing the broadcast. I'm like, I could swear it was just crickets chirping. There was not one phone call in the switchboard. I'm like, I'm sitting here on a Saturday afternoon, a holiday weekend. I don't think anybody's listening. I think they just went, oh, the old hosts are off. I was just filling in, you know, whatever. And then a dead switchboard. Swore there were crickets chirping. But then I get a message. Yeah. It's like, I'm just sitting there for an hour and a half. I'm like, well, I'm just going to talk about what I know. I was a guest. You know, I sat in for a little bit on some of the broadcasts with the older crew, you know, before they were replaced and I took over, whatever. And, you know, so I just talked about what I would talk about there. And, you know, I guess it added a dimension and figured, well, this doesn't work. This could work. Let's add some of this. Let's play with this. Let's do this. You know, and you know, everything's evolving. The more we grow, and I'm sure the radio show may change, you know, as far as, you know, different content I throw in there, topics, you know, different issues that come up. And I try to keep it centered around what the members are going through in the group. And, you know, yeah, things are going to change as we grow. We're going to have other topics. We're going to have other issues that we're going to talk about. You can't just say, well, no, this is what BIL was back here, and this is the way it's always going to be done.
Right, and the last thing I'm going to say before I get out of here is that you can't just walk up to a podium and say you're the best. You actually have to do something in order to be the best at something, and I can safely say that we're the best in our niche market here that works for the cause, and I'm happy to be the head of the thousands and thousands of people that are with us.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? It's not necessarily that we sit around saying that we're the best. It's the membership, the numbers that we have, the contributions, the donations, the support, the way our community has grown. It's always, I, in business and stuff, I always sit around and I say, yeah, everybody has the best product, the best idea, the best this. But you can sit there and say that your product, your group, your everything is the best. But it's the market, the membership, the profit, whatever it is, not in our case profits, but it's what we actually gain and how much traction we get in the market or doing what we do determines whether we are the best. And that's what is making us the best. Yeah, we have solid leadership. We have a solid leadership team. And we're making traction, and we are becoming the best.
Hey,
actually, I think we are the best.
40.5 million hits on a Facebook page of something that most people have never heard of. That's not a bad thing, and nobody else has been able to duplicate that.
I know. It's not happening. No one has come close to that, and not one other Barefoot group has come close to the numbers that we have. Because of what we do for our members, we just don't sit and talk about it. We just don't share stories. So we're not a coffee club. We are feet on the ground taking action.
You can go ahead and start your timeout, I guess. I'm going to get out of here. Thank you again, Nick. And I should be here next week for you.
Great. Looking forward to another round next Saturday, supporting our members and our cause. And Proof, of course, listen to his show, the Proof Negative Show on Freedomizer Radio, Mondays through Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The Proof Negative Show, 319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the program. I'm Nick Pierce. I'll be right back with Barefoot is Legal. Time to take our time out.
You never know when an emergency is going to happen, whether stuck on the road, riding out a power outage, escaping a natural disaster, or surviving a doomsday apocalypse, what would you do? Disaster can strike at any time. Join your host, Nick Pierce, for Freedomizer's newest prepping and survival program, Are you ready. Saturdays, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Listen to Are You Ready here on Freedomizer Radio. And be prepared.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Are you one of the tens of people who are tired of seeing chemtrails? Fed up with the government geoengineering you every other day? Take a dose of La Mecha Wong Chemtrail Remover daily, and you'll never worry about weather modification again. With great ingredients and quality vitamins from Mexico and China, like fluoride, barium, high fructose corn syrup, and colloidal mercury, your brain will be a virtual etch-a-sketch lickety-split La Mecha Wong Chemtrail Remover. Wow, I don't even remember the tagline for this, so it must be great.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Are you members of the Barefoot community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government, and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA, or Fatties, Eating Mitigated, automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra toned is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic. Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt. building railways, and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. Recite the Constitution in a public commons or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
Hey, Freedom S, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty'sGardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods. And with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
My toes itch. My back is in pain. My feet smell.
Well, I suffer from knee and hip pain.
If you suffer from any of those symptoms, Shoeless is a natural foot remedy to treat most symptoms of pain, infection, and other ailments caused by shoes. Shoeless can be applied simply by removing whatever is on your feet. Shoeless is a non-prescription solution to most foot problems that are caused by wearing shoes. In most cases, when using Shoeless, it does not impair your ability to operate a vehicle, walk, run, shop, jump, play, move, dance, sing, flip, or other human activities. Those using Shoeless have reported feeling happy, less pain, better mood, and have a better sense of health and freedom. Other benefits also include eliminating athlete's foot, foot odor, fungus, and other forms of bacteria known to have been caused by shoes. Some users of Shoeless may be told that it's against the law. Ask your doctor for a note when using Shoeless. Other side effects include a higher sense of awareness and in your surroundings. Do not use Shoeless if you are standing in a pit of fire. Using Shoeless may not increase your chances of flying or winning the lottery. However, some users have reported having higher self-esteem and positive attitudes, as well as more confidence. Shoeless is best when used all the time. Use caution when using Shoeless until your body adapts. Shoeless has also been proven to increase learning, attention, help fight depression, and ease effects of autism. Feel free to ask your doctor how Shoeless can benefit you. For more information about Shoeless and its benefits, visit barefootislegal.org. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates. Alrighty, welcome back. 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. And yes, that break was a little long, but we had to sell the ads. We had to pay the bills. But the good news is that's the only commercial break we're having during this segment of Barefoot is Legal. So coming down to the bottom of the hour, and I'd like to open up the phone lines to some of our guests and some of our callers. And let's go. Kevins, welcome to the Barefoot is Legal show. Welcome back this weekend.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. How you doing? Glad having you on again.
Unfortunately, you know, my work schedule has changed, so I'm not going to be able to call it every week like I was.
That's okay. Hey, any time we have with you is always appreciated. because love listening to your stories, love having you on. Long time fan, long time listener, frequent caller, valuable member of the Barefoot community right there.
Okay.
So what have you got going on for us?
Well, let's see. Going back to yesterday, went into Walmart, and no issues there as usual. However, there's still, for whatever reason, still some people who are having issues with Walmart, but so far I have not had an issue. Not even with the greeter person who doesn't really say anything, but then after that, went to doggone Bible study. Then they had a late night run to Family Dollar, and that was pretty much about it. So basically, no issues, none whatsoever. Just how it should be.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, that's the way it should be. That's normal. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, we've done so much with Walmart, getting responses from them. And you're right, I'm amazed that members still have issues with them. It really comes down to the overzealous management there. They believe and they think that there are these laws and these policies. And, I mean, every member that's had an issue, I mean, they go right to the Facebook page. They look at the letter from corporate. They keep it on their phone. And then, you know, it's like, why do these people still bother? You know, and it's sad. You know, I hate hearing the stories that the other members have. And I very few instances in all the years. I look at it like, you know, to me, it's just lower level employees that really just don't have a decent grasp of customer service or what the laws really are. Or even what their policies are, for that matter, and they demonstrate it every time they come out and act like baboons and say, oh no, they're freaking out, someone's barefoot in the store. You know, I mean, you see the videos of people at Walmart. I mean, really, is this what they're concerned about? You know? But yeah, I'm glad you had it.
You're exactly right. You know, and every time I go in there, you know, I pass by I passed by several employees and still, you know, matter of fact, I think it was last year or it could have been a year before. I remember passing by the store manager and the assistant store manager, and still no issue at all. So freaking,
yeah.
My thing is, if the store manager, you know, doesn't say anything, in which they shouldn't, you know, then it should be all good, I would think.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way it should be. You know, I noticed now in my area, Walmart has competition. There's a chain called Myers, same exact thing as a Walmart. They have a big grocery section. They have the they have the home goods, clothing. It's, everything's pretty much the same. It's the exact same thing as a Walmart, and it's called Myers or Meijer. In Ohio, everything ends with an S. It's Kroger's, it's Myers, even though it's Kroger and it's Meijer. It's called Meijer, and it's the exact same thing as a Walmart. So, hey, you know what? I don't know if you remember the video that I posted when someone said something to me about being barefoot in the Walmart. It was like the night before Memorial Day, and I needed a memory card for my phone for something.
Oh, yeah.
And I needed to get a memory card.
Yeah.
And I posted it, you know, and it's a whole thing about how we handle it. Hey, that's the video. This is how you do it. You know, I mean, they were just like, oh, I'm very sorry about this guy said something. I'm very sorry. You know, they sometimes you just got to work up through the ranks somewhere. And, you know, not everybody at Walmart that claims that they're a manager is a manager, I found out. Turn out this guy, he goes, yeah, well, I'm a manager, blah, 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 and you can't, blah, blah. I said, okay, is there anybody above you? And brings me over to the assistant store manager that was working. And I said, you're a manager over here. And he goes, he's a supervisor, right in front of the guy. I mean, if you go back on the page or you go back in the group or wherever I posted it in the community, it's amazing. Like, they think that they're managers. I mean, maybe they're in charge of the salary, but that's about it. I mean, it's amazing how these folks, you know, when they claim their management and all that. And Richard, it looks like you have something to chime in on the topic as well. So I'll bring you on, too, because I don't want to run out of time. You're on Barefoot is Legal with Kevins. And welcome to the show. I'm Nick, though. Don't want to confuse the listeners.
Yeah, hey, Kevins. Nick, how are you guys doing today?
Hey, we're doing good. Thanks for joining us.
Actually, what I was going to say is, I mean, it seems that we've gotten quite a few new barefooters, or I should say are starting to have experiences. And it's kind of one of those things where, you know, I always keep saying, you know, as long as I've been doing the whole barefoot movement thing, you know, prior BIL, et cetera, on any given day, you're either, you know, going to get confronted or not at any store, regardless of successfully barefooting there before, you know, you're always going to run into those employees that, you know, all like, you know, most of the public does about the myths about the barefoot illegal laws. And, you know, one of the things, it's like, I'm not going to comment per se, you know, how to go about dealing with these folks. But one of the things that I always, almost always notice is people don't bother to get that person's name. Just get their name, and, you know, later on when we do our complaints, either through Nick or if they want to complain themselves, they really need to be letting corporate know, hey, this particular individual at your store, you know, costed me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And
yeah.
Walmart, everybody agrees, should be one of those places that should be barefoot friendly from the number of letters that we've received from them in response to complaints saying, hey, there's no barefoot policy, shop away, we welcome your bare feet. And we keep having these issues, and to me, it's like, okay, well, people need to realize they, you know, from the top down, the information doesn't get to every single employee. And I hate to say it, I'm a store manager at a Walmart. I've got 20 million things to do, and when I'm training a new employee, telling them, hey, if you have any barefoot shoppers, don't worry about it, let them be. That's going to be kind of low on the priority list because it's so uncommon. There's not a lot
really
of barefoot shoppers that go in.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
People to get as frustrated as they do, sometimes I think, you know, you're actually not serving our cause. I understand it's an inconvenience for you, but, you know, just chill out, relax, be friendly, ask for their name, and then, you know, go about your business and we'll back end it the other way, because I'll guarantee you that employee gets a call from the manager, because that will go top down. When that employee gets called into the carpet, you know, saying, hey, we had a customer complain about you specifically being rude over something that's not an issue, it has to stop, and it will.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only way that stuff's going to come down.
Interesting insight that you have on that, because, you know, many years ago, I had an issue at a Walmart, and I just refused to go back there. And with the competition in town, I don't need to. You know, and that's not the case in every market. You know, Walmart's a power player. I mean, Walmart dominates a lot of markets when it comes to that model. And, you know, in most markets, the competition's slim on them. Value, price. You know, I just have such a thing against them ever since one episode, one instance in them. And that's what, actually, it took me maybe 10 years before I went back into Walmart, which was a memory card incident. And I'm like, see, now I know why I go somewhere else. It's like, who cares? You know, it's like, you know, but, you know, I mean, I rag on them a lot. And it really had nothing to do with being barefoot in their store. If anybody wants to know the story, I mean, this is how it rolled. My doctor was going out of town for 2 weeks. And I was supposed to have a refill on my medicine. Now, what happened was, I was on a prescription at the time. And the store messed up the prescription so bad. And, you know, they said, okay, it'll be ready in 20 minutes. We'll go ahead and redose or redispense or whatever. And I said, okay, fine. So I had some shopping to do. And because they gave me the medication, and when I looked at it, I said, okay, that's my name, but that's not what I'm supposed to be taking. So I asked him, and I said, is this brand? Is this generic? I said, what exactly? Even the generic name didn't look like anything that I was taking at the time. And they said, oh, well, you have to ask the pharmacist. We can't discuss that. Okay. So I waited 5 minutes for the pharmacist to come over. They said, oh, well, we'll redispense that. We're sorry. It's our mistake. Now, before they could redispense it, they had to contact the doctor, who the doctor called and faxed a prescription. You know, this is years ago. I guess it didn't just get electronically transmitted at the time. Okay, the prescription. They had to re-verify the prescription that they already verified, and the doctor was already on an airplane going on a cruise for 2 weeks. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I know, exactly. They've already called, verified the prescription, dispensed it wrong, their error. In the meantime, I said, okay, we'll get this straightened out. If you have any shopping to do, it'll be ready in about 20 minutes or something like that. I said, okay, come back to the window. And I figured, okay, did my shopping and everything. I got cat food, cat litter. Oh, there's a good deal. I'll get 2 boxes of cat litter, this, that, and the other. They come back. They said, well, we can't get in touch with the doctor yet. I said, I know, because he's on vacation. You already got in touch with the doctor. You have a prescription. You just need to do what the directions say. You already have the orders here. I mean, you already know what you're supposed to do. You've already verified the prescription. It was an out-of-state doctor because I was just moving from one state to another, right? So I guess added some level of complication to it. And they said, oh, well, we just need to reconfirm with the doctor what the prescription is for because we dispensed it. Well, it was anyhow this way. I said, okay. Well, it'll just be another 5 minutes because we put a call into his answering service and it's urgent and this, that, and the other because of the circumstances. I said, okay, fine. Long story short, by the fifth time up to that pharmacy window, and I'm going on to 3 hours in this store now, I'm done. I am just like, your pharmacy closes now. We're going on to 8:30. You know, they're still open screwing around with this prescription. You know, thank God it wasn't like life-threatening. But, you know, everybody that's watching this is like, well, if they dispensed his medication wrong, this guy, you know, some guy was talking to me at one point. I was there for so long. I'm making friends with like 15 different waves of people coming to pick up prescriptions. You know, at first it's like, okay, I understand, honest mistake. Then they're starting to frustrate me. Now they have me to the point of pissed. Now I'm to the point where my fuse is lit and I'm about to blow up. And needless to say, cat litter and everything ended up in the pharmacy and they had to shut their pharmacy down because I erupted. I finally gave him the, you are so incompetent, and God forbid that this gentleman got the wrong medicine for his heart. Thank God I don't have some life-threatening whatever it was that this was going to, you know, that this could have turned into. I just lost coffee. And they're just like, oh, I'm sorry, if you're going to behave that way, you have to leave the store. I said, be glad you're not hauling me out in a body bag because of your negligence. Could you imagine if this was heart medicine? Could you imagine if this was blood pressure? And for 2 weeks, this, that, and the other, you know, I mean, I read them the riot. I was done. Needs to say they couldn't dispense medication anymore from all the kitty litter in there. And that was that. Since I've never been back to Walmart. That was my thing. It had nothing to do with being barefoot at all. But boy, did it put a crimp in their pharmacy for probably until the FDA came in to reinspect to make sure there wasn't a grain of Febreze crystallized whatever, the Fresh and Step whatever puts in there now, Hawaiian Blast crystals floating around in like one of their like aspirin bottles, you know. I mean, I'm sure I did a job on that one. Yeah. But ever since, I'm like, please, if this is the way they handle someone, could you imagine if this was like life-threatening medication that you needed? And they're sitting there, they screwed up the first time, they mess it up, they can't get into it, they're giving you the runaround, this, that, and the other. And, well, then again, I was also told never to come back into that Walmart either after that episode. But I had no desire to go back as it was. Now, fast forward a couple of years. Yeah, I ended up and moving around and stuff, and I ended up going into other Walmarts. You know, barefoot, no issues there, but I could not believe it. You know, the corporate's like, oh, well, it's the pharmacy. They're separate. They can do whatever they want. I'm like, yeah, they're going to kill me. I could just imagine what happens to the celery. You probably rub raw chicken all over it. I mean, that's a level of incompetence. Now, I blast on Walmart a lot. Okay, everybody makes a living, Richard. I'm not blasting you. I'm not blasting what you do for a living. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you get to a company and you're passionate about the lifestyle. You're passionate about the movement.
I'm part of one of the most, reviled government agencies on the planet right now, hated more than the IRS, if you can believe that. But I'm not actually allowed to discuss on any social media what I do for a living. So we'll just leave it at that. You can kind of next time
okay,
we're going
yeah,
to
we,
airport,
we
talk about, an airport.
I thought you were saying
an idea of who I work for.
You were manager of Walmart still, or I guess you were at one point, or so. Okay.
No. But I mean, your frustrations are, those are like to me. That's like valid. You know, the fact that you didn't lose it sooner after, the first two or three times, because, your story, the whole thing that immediately stands out to me is they had an original prescription that they filled in correctly. And unless they came to you and said, hey, your doctor sent the wrong prescription.
No, it wasn't that. The doctor sent the correct prescription. The doctor sent the correct prescription.
That's my point. If they had the correct prescription on file, they just need to fill the correct prescription again. So I completely get your frustration. And it's like, okay, why do you need to re-verify with the doctor unless you made a mistake based off of what he sent? But that's not the case. You knew that.
Exactly.
You know, and so it's like that's why, I would have lost it a lot sooner than you did. My patience, I've been told I have the patience of Job. But what people don't realize is like I have the patience of Job provided person that I'm talking to, one, just legitimately does not know. Two, it's not their fault. And three, once I've explained everything, if they understand what I'm saying, we're good and I can still continue to forgive. But the moment that they don't get what I'm telling them and then they're just being ignorant or not wanting to understand, it's like, okay, patience just went out the window because you're obviously too ignorant to speak to.
Yeah. Now, see, I have a lot of patience. And, it's like I understand
reality.
Patience is a virtue. Reality is reality. And it was more so that I was frustrated that, God forbid, it was not just something minor in my case. But if they did this to someone else and their life depended on it, and it wasn't like I had the opportunity with that prescription to go to another pharmacy, because I've already thought about that in my mind. If the doctor's already leaving for the airport and he was already 15 minutes late because he had to stop and refax the prescription because whatever it was not good enough for the pharmacy to fill, I knew I'd just run into this again at another pharmacy. So it seems to be like more law and what they can and can't do under the eyes of practice and all this when dispensing medication. I get that. Okay, we're not talking about like heroin or like Oxycontin here either. I mean, this was something that just like, I mean, it was just, to me, it was a big deal.
Yeah,
I was more worried about
picking crystal meth from it at home afterwards, right?
Exactly. I wasn't picking up a kilo of cocaine at Walmart. I was more frustrated for the people that may have had life-depending medicine, and this pharmacy is messing it up and not able to get it. What if one of their doctors was going to be out of town for 2 weeks, made special concessions, delayed their travel arrangements and all this to make sure that they got in touch with the pharmacy and confirmed the prescriptions so the pharmacy could fill it? Thank God I called him when I did. And he was on his way out of the office. He goes, I got to get home. I said, you need to call this pharmacy and tell them that you're the doctor that wrote the prescription. If they need it refaxed over, please do. And he did. He goes, did they receive it? I'm sitting there on the phone. I said, yes, they got it. Okay, they're filling it. Pharmacist approved it. Okay, everything's fine. Enjoy your vacation, doc. See you when I get back in town. That was it. So you think everything's fine? It's the same mentality that you run up with against people that think that people that don't wear shoes are, these are the people you're up against sometimes. Oh, frustrating. So there's no arguing with stupid sometimes, like you were saying.
Oh yeah, you can't fix stupid.
Not at all.
I'm curious. This is a question for Kevin too, because this kind of segues into something else that I don't know if you've noticed the same thing, Nick, but it seems some of our members that have issues and seem to be confronted, oftentimes if you look at their appearance. And, you know, this isn't necessarily about the way they dress, but, like, the body language. If you're fairly confident and look like, you know, you're not somebody to be trifled with, it seems a lot of times people just leave you the bleep alone. Like, I posted a comment the other day because somebody was talking about that, and I mentioned, you know, my normal resting face, people often ask, are you pissed off? Are you okay? And, you know, until they get to know me, it's like, no, that's just my, you know, natural resting face. I could be like blissfully happy and people will think my face, my neutral face, the old expression, is angry. Couple that with my age, you know, 53, gray hair, you know, white beard. A lot of people just don't have the nerve to approach me about going barefooted. And I'll see times where there's like a manager or somebody who like look at me, and you can see that look on their face, like they look at your feet, and then they're like, look back at me, and then they're like, yeah, I'm just going to go walk over here and pretend I didn't even see that. And I'm wondering if, you know, Kevin, if you have the same type of a situation where if people look at you, because, you know, you have a much friendlier appearance than I do. But I kind of sometimes wonder if people just don't look at you and sometimes go, you know what, I'm not going to bother this guy.
That's a good point. I'd like to hear that one because, Kevin, you seem very calm, collected, confident, and all that. So what's your secret? What's your method, and how do you handle that?
I don't have a real method to be quite honest. I mean, I'm not really that good with confrontation as of yet. You know, and I think I said this story before, how I was home in Miami and I went to a Family Dollar and I got stopped, like, I think it was like halfway down an aisle because I was looking for ice, and they said, some lady said, can't be in here barefoot or something like that, and I was like taken back. I was like, huh? You know what I'm saying? So doggone. And I never had that problem with the Family Dollar up here in Virginia Beach. It's the same Family Dollar that I go to every now and again, and it's highly noticeable. But those employees don't say anything, you know. So and it's like for me, it's like he's like Nick always says, you know, you want to. When they tell you you need shoes or whatever, you just want to find out why, you know. And as always, yeah, they'll come up with some ridiculous cockamamie freaking excuses as to why you should, you know. And yeah, in lots of ways, yeah, it is kind of hard to fight store policy. You know, for example, you know, I go to the there's a YMCA up here, not too far from me. You know, I only go there every Sunday to, you know, have church services because that's where our church currently meets right now. And I was told by one of the front desk people, you know, saying that shoes are required in the building. And then after service, I asked why, you know, which is. And she said, oh, it was policy. So I hit them up on Messenger. You know, I'm like, you know, I was told, shoes are required. Is that true? Is it policy? And say yes, it is. If anyone concerned, you know, email the regional director and whatnot, which I haven't done yet. You know, but at the same time, you know, some people, even the newbies, some people can't handle confrontation because they don't know how to do it. Yes. All the information is on the website. Was in the file section, you know, and stuff like that, you know. I mean for Food Lion, you know, yeah, I got that confirmation call from when I called corporate. I got the letter, you know what I'm saying? So I really haven't had a issue since, you know. But it is important. It is important, you know, especially with Walmart. If corporate says that you don't, it said they don't have no policy, you know what I'm saying? It's really up to the store managers to find out if that is true, which they should already know that. Then educate their employers, you know, and be like, you know, Walmart has no policy. So if you see someone barefoot, you know, don't mess with them. Let them shop. You know, what's the harassment for? Is it, which I don't understand. And they want to waste. They want to call the police, get them involved, waste their time. You know, when they got other things to do, just because of this. You know, so for me, I'm still working on the confrontation part. I really, really am. You know, I know the laws. I know it's not, you know, illegal and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's basically, I mean, it's like no matter what you look like, honestly, it's really how you handle the situation. And people post it all the time on the group. You know how they handle the situation. Most employees, you know, they will back down or to walk away frustrated and you know and all other kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? But we say all the time they don't use logic. You know, just like you were saying earlier in the show, you know, talk about at least put on socks because there could be glass on the floor. You know what I'm saying? You know, and time I'm listening, I'm thinking, well, you know what? You better be careful. Next, it could be animal feces or deer urine on the floor. You know what? You know what? What's the freak
from last week?
Yeah. What the hell is? I mean, are socks supposed to be better? I mean, now correct me if I'm wrong. If you walk into a store and you got I don't know what kind of floor it is. What is it, marble or whatever type of floor that is? I mean, aren't you more likely to slip in socks? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Are you more likely to slip on the floor in socks? Socks do not have no grip at all. You know, so it still go back to what I always be saying. If you believe there's glass on the floor, why you're not sending nobody to clean it up? You know, but then you did say put on at least socks. Okay, so I put on at least socks. You know, I step on a piece of glass because you said, you know, I should at least put on socks. So you worry about me stepping on glass before. Okay, well, I stepped on a piece of glass. It went through my sock and it pierced my foot. So now what are you going to tell me?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like in the beginning of the broadcast when it's like when you mentioned the thing about socks, it's like, well, a sock is going to pick up that little piece of glass and carry it with you. If it doesn't go through the sock right away, you've now, like, you're starting to track that around with you. And eventually it's going to weave its way through the sock and into the foot. As opposed to knowing that it's there and being able to avoid it. You know, it's that false sense of security and some of the logic that people come up with when it comes to, oh, well, if you put socks on, you're going to be safe. You're right. And that's another point we didn't mention earlier. You're right, Kevin. You have no traction. And you'll go ass over tea kettle right onto the floor, slip, and there you go.
You know, it's funny, too, is a lot of people don't realize that a lot of corporate, you know, corporate rules for their stores and whatnot are designed by corporate lawyers. And corporate lawyers, you know, evaluate everything as in terms of, you know, risk to the business of a particular situation happening. And they get that information from insurance actuarial tables. And the reason most of these bigger corporations, especially over the past probably, I'm going to guess, right around 20 years as they rewrite their rules and everything else, the reason there's nothing about bare feet in any of them is because the corporate lawyers, when they're going through the insurance actuarial tables, there's no data on bare feet and injuries. Now, if you want to look at the insurance actuarial tables, you can go online and do that. There's plenty of data for banning high heel shoes and flip flops.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's I forget the number. I want to say somewhere in the tens of thousands of lawsuits of women in particular. Well, not just people wearing high heels and flip flops having slips and trips. And, you know, those are the battles that stores and businesses need to be fighting. Is that not the, you know, the bare feet? Because there's just no data on it. Because there's not enough. Matter of fact, I think the last time I ever heard any statistic, I think there's only been like 5, maybe 6 cases of somebody who's barefoot entering a business, getting their foot injured, and then suing the store. And to my knowledge, if I'm recollecting correctly,
the store has won.
All of them were just dismissed summarily by the judge, saying, "There's no case here. You know, you chose to be barefoot. You entered the store barefoot. it's as much your fault as theirs because you chose not to wear shoes. Done, you know, over.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point you make, Richard, because you're saying that, I mean, in the research I've done, there's over 300 court cases with slip and falls.
Oh, involving bare feet?
Heels, flip-flops, and all that. Now, those are actual lawsuits, and what you're talking about is the insurance tables, the actual – so I'm sure that these are claims that are settled outside of court. Would that be correct?
I'm not sure about that aspect of it. I imagine the insurance actuarial tables – probably do take those things into account because, again, it's all about liability to the store and protecting the store. So if there's, you know, if they look at something and say, hey, when this event happens and we get sued, this is what we're at risk of. And, you know, is it more beneficial to us to just pay out, you know, over time and not care about it because it's so such a small thing? Or do we sit there and make a policy against it? And, you know, the as many lawsuits as you just claimed with the high heels, that should tell you that it's still not worth them offending their customer base enough to sit there and say women in high heels can't enter our store because they know the amount of business and the outrage it'll create.
Yeah, especially since some of them sell high heels and flip-flops. So then they're saying, oh, they're taking money out of their own pocket. So they got to look at the sales that they, you know, the projected sales and even the sales trends, you know, in the past. And they say, okay, well, we're making X amount of money. So if once a month someone falls in our store in a product that we sell and they get injured, and I think that these tables, the insurance tables that you're talking about, must include things that are settled outside of court. It's called, oh, well, here's $10,000, here's $20,000. It has to be because in all the legal research that I've done in court cases, when it comes to actual lawsuits brought against companies that have, or even schools and everything. It clearly is. I mean, the numbers are in the 300s, and I can't remember the exact number myself, but, and this is since like 1964, 1962, somewhere around there, when these statistics were compiled that I did the research on. So I believe that, yes, there could be tens of thousands, maybe 100,000, hundreds of thousands of claims filed against a business, but it's I think anything that actually made it to court where business decided not to settle, 300 something cases were won, and you're right, just a small, tiny handful where someone who was barefoot tried to sue.
You know, real quick,
the person who was barefoot lost. Yeah, go ahead. We have about 30 seconds left, so go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, and you know, to confirm that, not that you can take everything from a movie, but you just reminded me in that movie Fight Club, there was a scene in there where they were talking about the insurance companies and with auto manufacturers. They before they'll sit there and do a recall to repair something that's causing injuries, they do an estimate. How much are we paying out every time somebody sues us and wins versus
I remember that
the cost? So that confirms it right there.
Yeah, no, it is. It's all insurance numbers. Richard, thanks so much for sharing that. And I think that's something I'm going to do a little more research on for our next up-and-coming episodes. And also like to thank Kevin's for calling in, Proof, for joining us in the first part of the show. Richard, Kevin's, all of our callers, all of our listeners, it's always great having you on. So please join us again. Until next time, I'm Nick Pierce. You were listening to Barefoot is Legal. You can check out the archives, and don't forget to check out our websites. Stay tuned for the other programs on Freedomizer, and follow us all over social media.